he constantly makes comments like, if I just stopped eating shit food, or if I just exercise more, I can be prettier if I want that. And if I just lost weight in certain areas, that I would be perfect. To the point where, like, today even, I was thinking about going to Thailand to get surgery because the waiting list is too long in Australia. So I need to know, like, am I doing the right thing, or, like, I don't know, just some advice on it.
Warning, content alert.
The Hookup, love and f***ing on Triple J.
Has body image or weight become an issue in your relationship? Research suggests it's very common for people to put on a few love kilos when they start seeing someone. And while it's not necessarily a bad thing, it can put strain on your mental health and your relationship. I'm Nat Tenchich, and on the podcast, you'll hear from people who have had their partners tell them to lose weight, someone who's considering getting lap band surgery for her boyfriend, and people who are confused about whether their partners like them for their whole package or just their body. Joining us is clinical psychologist and body image expert Louise Adams. I started by asking Louise why people might put on weight in a new relationship.
Well, there's no one answer to that. What are most people doing before they get into a relationship? They're dieting and trying to control their weight, trying to lose weight. And one of the things we know from 70 years of weight science research is that the strongest predictor of weight gain is trying to diet. So I think what might have been going on, at least with those callers, it's not the relationship itself that's causing weight gain. It's actually just a kind of relic of the natural thing that happens when a weight loss diet stops working. So we know that people can lose weight for a sort of maximal period of 6 to 12 months just through lifestyle changes. And they might be able to push it out a little further with things like steroids.
Mm.
But after a period of time, trying to maintain a much lower weight than your body likes is kind of like trying to hold your breath. After a while, you know, you can't just use willpower to keep holding your breath, right? You're just going to breathe. And that's what happens in the long term with weight loss dieting. The body simply demands that the weight comes back. It increases our hunger signals. It makes us think about food all the time. It slows down our metabolism, and our bodies just naturally regain the weight. So I'd love people to think about that and maybe not blame the relationship or blame themselves and their, you know, their naughty treats when they're going out on dates and stuff like that, and just think, well, maybe it's the diet.
What if you weren't dieting, though? What if your new relationship, maybe your partner does like to eat more than you were used to, or does like to sort of buy snacks and keep them around the house, and it's a tempting thing? And, you know, what if, or a lack of activity in your relationship, can that have an effect on your body?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, there's a multiple range of factors that might be going on that might be changing or interfering with your weight stability. If you are noticing that you're doing a lot more eating, even though you're not hungry, just because your partner's eating, that's very common. Like, eating is social, isn't it? We do it not just because we're hungry. And if we're trying to impress a partner, it's really human and understandable that we'd be doing that. But it's a signal that you're sort of out of contact with your own physical symptoms of hunger and fullness. And if you can stick to what your body's telling you and not sort of alter your behaviour just to impress someone else, I think that's a pretty good tip, whether it's to do with food or anything.
Rose from Frankston, you've called in. What's going on with you at the moment?
Oh, hi. So basically, like, before I started dating my boyfriend, like, 3 and a bit years ago, I was struggling with, like, body image issues, and it was like really intense to the point where I'd like starve myself for a really long time and stuff like that. And then I kind of got that all under control, and then a few years into our relationship, about a year ago, I started kind of spiraling out of control a little bit more, and then we kind of couldn't be intimate anyway at all because I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And then basically he was like, oh, that's okay, I'll wait for you. Like, it's really important to me that we have those intimate times, but, like, it's okay. Like, I'll just wait for you because I love you. And I was like, okay, cool. But then he didn't wait for me. He actually cheated on me, which, like, really sucked. And then I, like, was starting to get everything under control again. And now I'm kind of, like, not because now I'm kind of like, oh, is it my fault that he cheated on me because I couldn't do it? Maybe I should be thinner and then I'll be able to, like, be intimate. But, yeah, I'm not really sure.
Louise, what do you say to that?
Oh, my heart's breaking for you. That's just the worst story ever. And a few thoughts. If you were thinner, he probably still wouldn't have been a very nice person. This is not about you. This is about him. And it sounds like you were quite unwell. It sounds like you were really struggling with an eating disorder. And when we're suffering like that, we really need the people around us to love and support us and not put pressure on us. So, yeah. You know, this is nothing to do with your body and everything to do with him.
Oh, wow, that's nice to hear, actually.
We get that message, don't we, that if it's our body, and if our body was perfect, our relationship would be perfect. But yeah. What if that's just a load of bullshit, you know? What if nothing's wrong?
Well, yeah, exactly. And, what one of you were saying before about, like, the body, like, just needing to breathe because it can't be under a certain weight for so long. I was listening to that and I was like, holy shit, like, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. Our bodies are amazing.
Yeah, and I guess it's something that I really need to think of.
Louise, how do you find someone who isn't going to react the way that Rose's partner did? How do you find someone who's going to be empathetic and embrace your body?
Oh my God, if I knew the answer to that, I would. I think, you know, it is hard to find the right partner. And you know what? I take that opinion of if you're in a difficult time and your partner lets you down, in a way, it's a gift because you know that you don't need to spend any more time with that person and you can keep searching for someone who will be trustworthy, someone who will be around for you regardless.
Yeah, well, he said that he's, like, really regretting it and he'll do anything for me now. Mm-hmm. But now I'm kind of like, you said that before, like, how can I trust you now? And I just kind of don't know if I should give him another chance or not.
Oh, that's a difficult decision. I always say it's a bit of a 1970s style metaphor, but trust is like a sandcastle. Like, it's easy to knock down but hard to rebuild. It's like you have to rebuild it grain by grain with sand.
Yeah.
He needs to show you with every single step that what he says is actually being mirrored in his behaviours.
Yeah, do you think it's possible?
I think trust is always possible to rebuild, absolutely. And I don't know this guy, but it's got to be down to your observation. So not just what he's saying but what he's doing and allow it to take time because it really does take a long time to rebuild trust after a betrayal like that. And I would also hope that you're getting some real help with the eating issue and the body issue because he's not qualified to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear.
Rose, thank you so much for your call. I hope that's helped.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
If this conversation has brought up feelings for you and you want to talk to someone about it, you can contact the Butterfly Foundation or call Lifeline on 13 11 14. You are listening to The Hookup on Triple J with me, Nat Tenchich. We're joined by Louise Adams, clinical psychologist and specialist in body image issues. Now, Louise, we're talking about partners that maybe are giving you, putting some shame on you for your body image. Is this more prevalent? Is this a thing that more likely happens to women? That's the pattern I seem to be picking up here.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we know that women are by far much more unhappy with their bodies than men, even though the rate of men that are unhappy with their bodies is increasing at a worrying rate. But women are under a lot of pressure in this culture to look a certain way. And as soon as a certain body type is valued and a certain female body shape is valued, then men are going to get that message too. And so I think it's a horrible kind of perfect storm of factors that mean that everyone's under pressure. So women are under pressure and they've internalized this kind of pressure. And so they all believe that they need to look a certain way in order to be desirable. And men have swallowed the Kool-Aid as well. So they're buying that message too. So what I try and do with my clients is help them to sort of pull out of like the what I call the diet culture messages and have a look at what we're being told and have a critical look at what we're being told. Because when you really do pull out and look at it, it's quite a toxic environment that we're in.
The Hookup on Triple J.
Research suggests that you might put on weight when you're in a new relationship. Maybe it's because your guard is down, or you're not watching everything you eat, or maybe you're eating out more because you like to do that with your new partner. So what do you do when your partner tells you to lose weight? Are they right, or are they fat shaming you? Here to help us out with these problems is Louise Adams. She's a clinical psychologist and specialises in body image issues with clients. Now, Louise, how can you detect this kind of behaviour and what should you do about it if it's starting to get to you?
Which kind of behaviour are you talking about?
Fat shaming behaviour.
Oh gosh. It's not hard to detect fat-shaming behaviour in a relationship because basically what you'll start hearing is appearance-related comments or comments on your behaviour. Should you be eating that? Should you go to the gym? You know, that kind of stuff is, in my opinion, appearance-shaming, and it's never, ever, ever a good idea, and it doesn't usually lead to people kind of embracing health supportive behaviours. What happens to someone when they're being shamed because of what their body looks like is that they can go into diet mode, they can go into restriction mode, they do stuff that's really not sustainable. And also it's just this really terrible message because, like I was saying earlier, we live in diet culture where we're constantly told to police and survey our bodies. When suddenly our own partner starts doing that too, there's another level right there in our own lives in which it's happening to us. And I just don't see how any of that really helps support someone have a relaxed and intuitive relationship with food or movement. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Steph from Newcastle, you've called in. What experience have you had with fat shaming or body policing, rather?
Hi. Well, actually, I was the one doing the fat shaming, but I honestly didn't even realise how much it was affecting my partner at the time. So he's the kind of person that when he puts on weight, it's not super obvious because he puts it on everywhere. Like his arms will get a little bit bigger and he's, you know, it'll get a little bit bigger around his waistline, but not so much to the point that like he even noticed that he was putting on weight. But when I started, I don't know, I didn't really notice that I was fat shaming him until he pointed it out to me and he was like, oh, like, you know, you're making me feel pretty horrible about myself. Like, I didn't realize that I had put on weight, but yeah, he just came straight out and said, like, you know, it's not making me feel the best about myself, because I didn't honestly realize that I was doing it, because it was just like, you know, the odd little fat jokes or that kind of stuff. And yeah, like, because I'm genuinely, like, I like to eat quite nutritionally. I'm quite an active person. So, like, for me, I didn't even realize that I was doing that to him. And when he actually spoke up and said, you know, this is not okay, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't believe that I have sat here and I've done that to you, because, like, that's so not the kind of person that I am. Like, I felt so horrible about that. But yeah, he did say, like, you know, I didn't even realize I was putting on weight. So in one respect, like, it was definitely not the way to approach it whatsoever, but it was probably good that he did realize that we were being very unhealthy in the fact that we were never being active at whatsoever. Like, we would sit around a lot and we would eat a lot of, like, just bad, like, not bad foods, but, like, you know, nothing that had any nutritional value to it whatsoever, like a lot of pizza and whatnot. So, yeah.
So, Louise, where's the line here? Like, how can you suggest you might need to start having a healthier lifestyle without bringing shame into it?
Well, I think if we could at least look underneath appearance and look at behaviours, because it's a really interesting story that you told. You have one person who's, by the sound of it, always been in a thin body, and even though you might have been engaging in exactly the same behaviours that your partner was, his body was changing and yours wasn't.
Yeah,
and yet
yeah.
It's only when that appearance changed that this became a problem. And that's kind of my bugbear with all of this, that if we could just pay attention to behaviours and forget all about the size of people's bodies, we'd be in a much better place. Health supportive behaviours are really good for people in all kinds of bodies, not just big ones. I think the way that you responded when he
communicated with you how that impacted on him was really good, because you, like you said, you just didn't know how painful that is. But for people who are in larger bodies or people who have had weight struggles where they go up and down, those comments hurt. And it's not the first time they've heard them, and it's repetitive throughout our society. So I think the more reactions we can get like yours, which is, I'm so sorry, I didn't know, and I will not do it again, I think we'll be in a much better place.
Yeah, cool.
Steph, thanks so much for the call.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
Natalie from Wollongong, you've called in. You started going to the gym because your boyfriend wanted you to, but then what happened?
Well, I've always had body weight issues ever since I was a little kid. So I was going to the gym 5 days a week before I met my now ex-partner. But at the stage, guys were just, like, looking at me randomly, whatever like that. I wasn't really paying much attention. And he told me that I had to stop going to the gym so the guys wouldn't look at me. And then about six months to a year down the track, he told me that I was putting on too much weight because I had gone up two dress sizes, because he told me to stop going to the gym. So I was like, what do you want me to do? You told me to stop going to the gym like a year ago. And he was like, you know, no, you're too big for me. I want you to start losing weight again. So I was like, all right, I'll start going back to the gym, and his attitude towards me was completely different because I was starting to lose the weight, but he was getting angry at me because all the guys were starting to look at me again.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know, and he was telling me, you know, you're too fat, your butt needs to get bigger, but it was just messing with me for so long. And then he ended up cheating with me with a girl that I went to the gym with because she was, you know, skinny.
Louise, do you think that was the case? It sounds like it wasn't really about your body at all.
I just was just going to say this has nothing to do with your body. He's using your body insecurities as a way of emotionally abusing you. And I'm glad you got away from him because it sounds terrifying. And he'll probably continue to do that to other women. And again, like I was saying earlier, it's his treatment of you will become part of that story in your life about, you know, this is about the body, this is about the body. This is not about the body. This is about control and objectifying you.
Yeah, it was just hard, and I'm still... You know, I'm finally getting better and getting the treatment I need to sort of have a better, you know, body thought about myself. And now I'm starting to become more comfortable.
Yeah, it can take a long time. It can take a long time to recover from that kind of abuse. And I'm really glad that you're getting help to get rid of that, because emotional abusers, you know, those kinds of messages sink into our brains and become our own thought processes. So if he's saying stuff like, you know, you're too fat, then you'll start thinking I'm too fat.
Mm.
And that's the kind of thing that we try and do with people in therapy, is to kind of extract those thoughts and put in something that's much more affirming and supportive of you.
Yeah.
I hope that's helped, Natalie.
Yeah, it has. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for the call. You're listening to The Hookup on Triple J, and if any of these stories are bringing up something for you, you can get onto the Butterfly Foundation. You can also call Lifeline 13 11 14. I'm here with Louise Adams. She's a clinical psychologist. She's also does a lot of work with body image and health. Rosie from Mill Park, you've called in. What does your boyfriend say about your weight?
Hi, guys. My partner and me have been together for like 6 years, and I've always been a big girl and always struggled with my weight. Up until about, we went into an open relationship about 2.5 years ago, and he got with a girl, and since then my weight has been an issue. I'm not sexually attractive to him. Having sex, he's actually said, is more difficult, and that he just doesn't have a want for it, and he's not a sexual person. And on top of that, my mom ended up getting a gastric sleeve surgery like 2 years ago. And he suggested that that's something that I should do.
So I'm actually on the public waiting list for it. But I, like, he constantly makes comments like, if I just stopped eating shit food, or if I just exercise more, I know what to do and I can make it easier and I can be prettier if I want that. And if I just lost weight in certain areas, that I would be perfect. I just, I struggle so much coming to terms, because at the same time, it's so such an impact on my self-esteem, because I've always, I guess, copped flack about my weight, that I look at him and I'm like, how am I meant to be sexually attracted to that one person that scars? Like, you already have scars when it comes to self-esteem. And when somebody that you love and that you trust so much hits on that point, it actually, like I want to be with him, but I don't know if I can ever get past something like that, to the point where, like, today even I was thinking about going to Thailand to get surgery because the waiting list is too long in Australia. So I need to know, like, am I doing the right thing, or, like, I don't know, just some advice on it.
I'm so glad that you're here and not in Thailand and asking this question. So what would be solved by doing the gastric surgery?
I think, you know, I have so many self-esteem issues. Like, I hate looking at myself now. The things that he says are wrong with me, they're more flamboyant to me. It's all I think about, kind of thing. And I feel like that would almost be, having the surgery would be a way of putting, like, getting rid of that, being a new person and not being, I guess, held down by that stigmatization that, you know, I know who I am on the inside, and I feel like that's the reason that he's with me, is for my personality. But at the same time, like, he's just not sexually attracted to me, and if I could change that, then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so you're hoping it will change a whole raft of things, right? You're hoping it will change how you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
You're hoping it will change how you feel stigmatized in the world. You're hoping it will help him see you in a sexually positive way.
Sure. Yeah.
Lots and lots and lots of things. And I think this surgery is being offered more and more commonly to people as, like, the golden ticket to people. And I would advise a lot of caution around that. And before you take that very extreme, irreversible step of stomach surgery, to go and get some help from somebody, you know, I guess like me, who can help you talk through the issues with someone completely objective, because he has a agenda when he's talking to you about this radical surgery, and that's never a kind of safe bet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I get it. It comes from such a selfish place from him. It feels like it's all about him. He wants me to look better, and he makes comments about, like, the whole reason I'm actually on the phone is because I went out tonight, because we were out, and he made a comment about my friend's girlfriend's booty and was like, that is an incredible booty. Like, usually I wouldn't care of that sort of thing, but because, like, he says such negative things about my body in comparison, like, I don't even want to go out anymore.
I wouldn't go out with him.
Yeah.
but do you think those comments would stop if your body was smaller?
Well, I think so. And that's the thing. Like, when I met him, I was 100 kilos, and now I'm 135 kilos. So I get I've put on weight, but, like, that doesn't dictate who I am as a person. I haven't changed. Mm. Like,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's
and he
right.
puts it
that's
from right. a health perspective. Yeah. He's like, you know, I just care about your health. I'm like, well, why are you commenting on it? It's like, it's not your job. You know, when someone asks for help, they want help, you know. Yeah. But I think it's almost pushed me in the opposite way. Like, I find myself binge eating. It's, like, destructive.
Of course you would. This is so normal. where you're stuck is so, so normal. When you're being judged and pressured to change your body and sort of given this message that what you look like is everything and only if you were just ... Gosh, if thank you, you know, probably thin person who's never struggled for telling
he is.
Me.
He very is.
He's sort of mansplaining to you what you can do, and you're the one who's lived in your body your whole life. You know what your body does. You know it's resistant to weight loss.
For
and
sure.
that's just the truth of your body.
And it's almost like a roadblock then, because you're just like, I know me better than you know you. But I also know, like, it's guys tend to also project, like, he's recently been diagnosed with MS and his health is shit, like, I eat better than he does. It's just my body reacts differently to what his does. But mm-hmm. I think there's also a projection side of things as well. Like, people don't like what they see in themselves and they look at other people to find reasons to project, I guess, that unhappiness that they have within themselves. Like, I'm doing it now with girls that I see on the street that I think are, like, so society-wise are attractive. And I all of a sudden, like, I don't want to be around them and I don't want to look at them. I definitely don't want to be in them in public with my boyfriend. You know, It's a comparison thing and it's quite destructive.
Well, he's buying into that, though. He's using comparison. He's comparing your body to that of other women when you're in public to up that pressure and keep you feeling bad about your body. So It's understandable that you don't want to be in situations like that.
Yeah, I think my main, is there anything that you can give me to, like, help me communicate to him that it's not okay? In a way that I guess...
Yeah. I think you need to tell him to shut up.
Yeah.
Is that clear enough? Like,
yeah.
You really need to stop. I think we had an earlier caller and she gave a wonderful example of what a supportive partner does. So When her boyfriend picked up and told her, look, you know, what you're doing is hurting me and it's shaming me and I feel terrible about it, her reaction was appropriate. It was, oh, my gosh, you know, I feel awful and I will not do it again.
Yeah, he comes from a defensive, like, it's for your health. And it's, people pull that card.
Being horrible to people because of their health doesn't improve health. There's a stack of research on that.
Yeah.
And you're the expert. If he won't listen to what you're telling him, then you have to have a look at, you know, what kind of partner he's
being. The bigger picture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Rosie, thank you so much for your story.
No worries. See you guys later.
Bye. If that story did bring up anything for you, then make sure you get in contact with the Butterfly Foundation or you can call Lifeline 13 11 14. You are listening to The Hookup on Triple J. We're talking sex and relationships and we're talking weight and relationships. And as you've heard tonight, it is a very heavy topic and it's one that connects with a lot of people. Hamish from Coffs Harbour, you have a question for Louise Adams.
G'day. How you going?
Hi.
My question is, where do you find the line between, like, fat shaming and trying to, like, just keep healthy, have a healthy lifestyle, have a healthy body?
Yeah. So health is a really loaded word. Health for me is a lot bigger than just what somebody weighs. So health involves, you know, physical health for sure, but also involves mental health, social health, spiritual health, just so many layers. And health actually has nothing to do with someone's weight. And eating healthily, for example, can happen for people in a whole variety of bodies. And fat shaming someone is just a comment about somebody's prejudice. So I don't see them as connected because I quite often, like, what you're saying is, you know, and I think we hear this from the government policies too, right? Maybe if we shame people a little bit more, people's eating behaviours will change. And actually the research shows that the very opposite happens. When we use shaming language when it comes to people's bodies, things happen, like the previous caller who was talking about, when she's feeling shamed, her eating behaviour gets worse. She will binge eat. So as much as you can, stand back from comments about weight or fat shaming.
Yeah, that's the last thing I'd want to do.
Yeah. Support somebody in health behaviours and forget all about weight.
All right, cool.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call, Hamish.
Thank you.
Danielle says, it's heartbreaking to hear all these stories and wanted to remind these women that their size does not define them. As for those men who shame women, know that arseholes like you come in all shapes and sizes too. So thanks for that, Danielle. And thank you, Louise, for joining us tonight.
Thank you, and thanks to all the callers.
Louise Adams is a clinical psychologist and runs a program for people experiencing diet and weight issues called Untrapped. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Have you got a topic you really want covered? Shoot us an email via thehookup@abc.net.au or hit us up on Facebook.